The following Paige Joseph Prince Ministries program is brought to you by our Grace Legacy Builders.
Today with Joseph Prince.
The greatest posture of a man is dependence on God.
When my heart was broken and I was just hurting a lot, the Lord used Pastor Prince and his messages to just bring healing and comfort.
I was actually just flipping through the TV one day and he was sharing the message of grace, just the message of a righteousness is from him and how he gives us our identity and everything we have is from him. It just lit my heart on fire.
If the gospel of grace has impacted your life, I would like to invite you to join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. Let's advance the gospel of grace together. Visit the link on your screen to be part of living a legacy of grace today.
I'm going to share with you today about praying before the trial happens. You know, Jesus said to his disciples in the garden in Gethsemane, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. And the word temptation there is testings and trials. So Jesus said, pray that you enter not. Some Christians say, well, the more trials we have, the stronger we become. You know what? If Jesus taught me to pray that I enter not into testing, I'm going to pray that I enter not into testing. If I am in testing, I'm going to trust God that I'll be strengthened, all right, by the faith that I use and the love that I exercise, all right? I believe if I'm in it, I'll make the best of it. But Jesus taught us to pray. Even in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us, lead us not into temptations. And the word there is testing, trials. So why don't we just pray that God, every single day, I pray this for me and my family, all right? I pray that God will lead us not into temptations. I pray for you that God will lead you not into testings, temptations, and trials. Amen. It's the best prayer you can pray. Now, if the Lord tells us to pray that we enter not into testings, I really think there's something we need to look at seriously. I really believe that some trials we go through, we don't have to go through. Okay? Now, it's not for us to judge another. I'm talking about ourselves. Okay? If someone goes through a trial, our place as a believer is to weep with those who weep. Amen? It's not to say you don't have faith or things like that. That's not your place. Your place is to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen? But I'm teaching here, and I'm teaching from the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us clearly, we need to pray that the Father lead us not into testings. Amen? Pray that you enter not into temptation. So for this, I'm going to show you something that recently, Pastor Mark, our Chinese pastor, he asked me a question, very interesting. Actually, I've answered that question in a message I preached in February of 2004. And the message is called, Just a Groan Will Reach the Throne. I remember that title because it's such a cute saying. Just a groan will reach the throne. Amen? And Pastor Ma asked me this question. Pastor Prince, if the children of Israel, they were under grace, and they were, because the children of Israel, before they were delivered out of Egypt, until they were brought to Mount Sinai, they were actually under the covenant of grace. The covenant that God cut with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Ten Commandments were not given yet until Israel came to Mount Sinai after they were delivered from Egypt. Then God gave them the Ten Commandments, which is something that they asked for, not knowing, all right, their flesh. They presume on their own righteousness, which they had none. So if we look carefully at this truth, begs the answer, if it is true that they were under grace, why did God allow them to go into bondage? Why did God allow the children of Israel to serve under the hard taskmasters, under the whiplash of the Egyptians? Why did God allow that if they were under the covenant of grace? There's something very, very mystical about the human heart when it is ruled by the flesh. Do you know that you can be oppressed for a long time and you still play the strong man? And I submit to you, there is something that God was waiting for in the children of Israel. And that was, we know that God always wants men to depend on Him. The greatest posture of a man is dependence on God. All right? The greatest blessings you will ever receive is when you depend on God. Amen. And the flesh always makes you think, I can handle it. So for many years, when they were under the whiplash of the hard taskmasters of Egypt, one thing they did was this. They said, we can take it. We can take it. It was not until, believe it or not, I did a check. From the time Joseph died, the Bible says, there arose a king that knew not Joseph. Now, Pharaoh, Joseph had favor with Pharaoh. So when Pharaoh says, bring your father and all your brothers and all their families and their flock and all that into the place called Goshen in Egypt, that Pharaoh was a Pharaoh who favored Joseph and the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. At that time, they were not a nation yet. They were still a family, right? He gave them the land called Goshen. Goshen means nearness. And you remember when the plagues fell on the land, all right? The people that were in Goshen, they had light in their dwellings. When Egypt was suffering darkness, they were so thick, they can't even see in front of them. By the way, the darkness is not natural. It was judicial, because if it was natural, it could be solved with a lamp or a light, a candle. Amen. But even a candle cannot put out that darkness. Why? It is not natural. It is judicial. It's a punishment from God. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? But the Bible says in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there were light in their dwellings. And I submit to you, this light is supernatural as well. Amen. When people look at your family, they see the light. You might not even know that you are shining, but your family is shining. Amen. The world is aware of it. They see the light in your dwellings. And it's supernatural light. Amen. But for so many years, after Joseph died, the children of Israel, they were still in Egypt. There arose a king that knew not Joseph, the Bible says. And then he was afraid because God's people were multiplying. Amen. And you all know the story. They were just producing. And God's people are so blessed. They are producing. And this king says, look, if they continue this way, they'll take over the entire nation of Egypt. Let's subdue them. Let's subjugate them. And let's put them under our power, our strength. All right? Let's make them slaves. Okay? And that happened for many years. There was no Moses yet. And I calculated the time from that time until the time God responded and sent an 80-year-old deliverer called Moses. It was about 215 years. That's a long time, folks. So I asked the question, why so long? Because our flesh, like I said just now, sometimes we are oppressed, we are under pressure, we will not even cry out. See what happened? Exodus 2. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Wow. Wow. Long before God acknowledged them, God, who knows all things, obviously God knew they were in bondage, but there is something about covenant. All right? No doubt, covenant involves two parties. You understand, we have contracts today. Actually, to use a contract, the analogy of a contract, is not exactly covenant. Covenant is inaugurated with blood. Contracts are not. A wedding, a marriage, is not a contract. It's a covenant. And there's blood shedding. And there's a God institute, the marriage covenant, that blood will be shed. Now, watch this. God cuts covenant not for his own sake. Man make contracts because I don't trust you, you don't trust me. All right, you might be trustworthy now, but 5 years from now, your heart might be changed. So we need to have a contract, a win-win situation. Am I right? With a contract so that no one can change their minds about certain agreed procedures or points of agreement. Am I right? Okay, we do that because both parties are not trustworthy, wholly trustworthy. But with God, Why does God make covenant? Not for his sake. He is trustworthy. The thrice holy God cannot lie. I like that in Titus. It does not say that God will not lie. Some people say God is almighty. He can do whatever he wants to do. And I say, yes, he's almighty, but there are some things God cannot do. God cannot lie. So what does God make a covenant? God makes a covenant so that you will have the assurance. Amen. It's for your witness, so that you will know God will not change his mind tomorrow. Amen. Now we are under, because of the lack of time, I'll just go straight to the point. We are now no more under the covenant of Mount Sinai. Under the covenant of Mount Sinai, God says, if you keep all these commandments, then I will bless you. Then I will rid you of your enemies. If you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will bless your crops. I will send the rain. It is, if you will, then I will. But in the new covenant, the Bible says, God says, I will put my laws in your hearts. I'll be your God. You'll be to me a people. All right, all will know me from the least to the greatest, because I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses. And all their sins, I remember no more. So, we are no more under the covenant of Sinai. We are now under the new covenant, where God remembers our sins no more. Why no more? Why the phrase no more? Because once under the covenant of Sinai, God says, I will by no means forget your sins, but I'll visit your sins to the third and fourth generation. Now God says, I'll remember your sins no more. Why? Because God in his holiness has remembered our sins at the cross. And God imputed to Jesus all your sins, all my sins, all means from the day you are born until the day you see Jesus, all right? All means all. God put all your sins on Jesus. He was punished for all your sins. He took your place. His blood efficaciously washed away all your sins, and then God raised him from the dead without your sins. The idea there is that if one speck of your sin remained on Jesus, God would not have raised him from the dead. Are you listening, people? The Bible tells us that God raised his son because of our righteousness. The moment we were cleared, God raised his son. As a proclamation that the same body of Jesus that bore our sins 3 days ago now is without our sins. What does that mean? Your sins are all put away. Amen. It's taken the church 2,000 years to understand that, but a lot of preachers are afraid of this teaching. All right, it's not even a teaching, it's the work of our Lord Jesus. Don't blame me, blame him. He gave us this grace. I didn't. He really put away our sins. Amen. So much so that God says in the new covenant, your sins, I remember no more. That means I'll not remember your sins to punish you. I'll not remember your sins to punish your children to the third and fourth generation. Are you with me? Is this helping you? You understand that? All right? So we are under covenant of grace. So, in a covenant of grace, what is our part? You read carefully the new covenant, you find that God says, I'll be merciful. Your sins I remember no more. I'll put my laws in their hearts. I will be to them a God. None will teach another, know the Lord. All shall know me. It's an unconditional covenant. Our part is to believe. Can I have a good amen? Our goodness does not disqualify us. Our goodness does not qualify us. It's not based on us. It's based on Christ. And the children of Israel, they were actually under the covenant of grace based on the covenant God made with Abraham. When God gave Abraham the covenant, and they are actually under the covenant of grace. Yet, God was waiting for something from them. Something as simple as saying, God, I depend on you. But they can't say that. There's no record they ever say that. All right? Then maybe God says, maybe they'll cry, oh God. There's no record. The groaning you see in a while's time, I'm going to show you, is not, nowhere do you find they groan to God. Nowhere do you find the children of Israel in Egypt, they cry out to God. All it says is that God heard their groaning. God came down to the lowest level where they activated the covenant by saying, oh! God says, that's my covenant being activated. Come on, angels, go forth. Are you listening, people? All right? You cannot pray good prayers. Okay, never mind. What can you pray? One line. Father, help me. Cannot also. How about? Father, help. Cannot. How about? Father. Cannot. How about? Ow! That's a prayer. Just a groan will reach the throne. Just a groan will reach the throne. Here is our foundation for that. All right? The Bible says God heard their groaning. Now notice, they cried out. Doesn't say they cry to the Lord. They cried out by reason of their bondage. All right? Their cry came up to God. Didn't say they cried to God. They cried, and their cry came up to God.
Amen.
Because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning. God remembered. Where was God before this? Was he forgetful? Is God a God that forgets? Yes, he is. But when he forgets judicially. God is not forgetful, but he does make himself forget. For example, when he put your sins on Jesus' body and he punished Jesus for your sins, God is so holy, he will not remember that same sin twice. Now in your body. That's how God makes himself forget. His holiness makes himself forget the very sin that he has forgiven. Man says, I can forgive. I cannot forget. Show me in the Bible where God says when you forgive your brother, you must forget. It's good you can forget, but you cannot forget, forgive. But you know something? When you think back about the incident, the sting is no more there. Are you with me? Okay? So what an amazing grace. Now, do you know they are crying out to God? I'm going to fast forward something here for you to understand, and you will see how God's grace is magnified here. Now, we're going to fast forward to the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt and all the way through the wilderness, 40 years and all that. And now they enter through the River Jordan, to the promised land. And Joshua is their new leader. And Joshua says something very profound. Joshua reminded them of something in the land of Canaan. Look at this. Joshua 24. Now, therefore, Joshua exhorted the children of Israel, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served. Listen, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. You know what he's saying? Literally, at that time, they were in bondage under the hard taskmasters, but they were worshiping other gods in Egypt. Wow. And yet when they groaned, God remembered his covenant. The grace of God. Are you listening, church? They were worshiping other gods, the other side of the river, in Egypt. That's the reason why the 10 plagues came. Every one of the plagues was a punishment on the God of Egypt. And the Lord was demonstrating that he is the God of all gods. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know, it magnifies God's grace because when they're crying out, they weren't crying out to God. They were just crying out because of the pain. And yet God heard. And God remembered his covenant. So that phrase, God remembered his covenant, go back to Exodus 2. That phrase, God remembered his covenant, is a phrase that which means God remember to execute it. God remember to do something about it. Are you with me? Okay? Amen? For example, if someone comes, let's say you're renting a house and someone comes early and say that you must give up this house, somebody else is interested in this house, then you remember, wait a minute, I remember this covenant or this contract. It's supposed to be 3 years. It's only 2.5 years now. So you remember to execute. Remember to defend yourself. All right? So God remembered the covenant. Are you with me? Before that, let's go back to Joshua 24. Let's see what Joshua said. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say that of yourself? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what the world says. Amen. We will serve the Lord. But they'll make fun of you as a Christian. So what? We will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. They can call you a nut, but you know what? I'm a blessed nut. I'm a blessed nun. And at the end of the day, it's God who makes the words of men stick. If all men put together say bad things about me and God caused all their words to fall to the ground, what is that? But if God causes one word I speak to stick, that is the power of God. Amen. Amen? So it doesn't matter at the end of the day how many people criticize you. It is how many words God makes stick. Some people can read bad things about you and God can make them forget. Don't think for one moment just because somebody write bad things about you that God make it stick. I love the phrase where it talks about the prophet Samuel as he was growing up. God did let none of his words fall to the ground. The reverse is also true. Bad things can be written about you. Your past will never come back to haunt you. If somebody texts about your past, you know what? God can cause those words not to stick. But everything good about you, God can make it stick. This is our God. Give him praise. Amen. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will not forget to remember, and sometimes God will remember to forget our sins. Okay, never mind. I thought I was being funny, but... Now, the thing about us is this. What are you going through today? Are you going through a physical bondage? Are you going through some challenges with your teenage boy or girl? Are you going through some addictions? What are you going through? Is there something that is a bondage to you? You feel like, spiritually speaking, there are Egyptians around you. There are taskmasters bullying you. It's almost like you are under this bondage and you never get out of it. Have you ever cried out to the Lord? Have you ever cried out to the Lord? How do I do that, Pastor Prince? Come here. I'll make you cry. Crying is one of the easiest things. The moment you are born, you cry. Amen? So God is so good that God says the easiest response, the very first response of a baby born in this world is cry. All right, God says when you cry, you activate my covenant. You don't have to pray perfect prayers. Just cry and that's activation of my covenant. I'll remember my covenant and I'll respect you. In fact, the phrase that says God acknowledged them, go back to Exodus 2, all right, the last line. In the Old King James, God looked on them and God had respect unto them. Isn't that precious? Isn't that beautiful? So all these years, nearly 200 over years, all right, of being under bondage, increasing measures at different times, all right, they were saying, we can handle it, we can handle it, we can handle it, we can handle it. Never had God in their thoughts, never had God in their minds. I remember when I was serving in the National Service, in my process of becoming a boy to man, I remember that we had to run up with a machine gun night training, and I had this particular sergeant, and it's not just me saying it, okay? The entire camp, when they heard that my platoon was under this sergeant, they all shook their heads. Even other instructors says, good luck. All right, because he was known to be a sadist. And he would make us run up and down when other sections and all that, they had finished their training, night training. They were having their bean soup and night snack and whatnot, you know, whatever they were serving us in those days that they call food, you know. You know, we were still running up and down, my section. We were running up and down, shooting, bah, 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 bah. They said, not good, not good, one more time. Then we were around, and we were all very tired. We could look around, we could see people having their night snacks. Everyone else was finished. We were not finished. Then one of the runs up there, I forgot how many times, I remembered I was a Christian. I remember. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm serving my country, but there's no ordinary citizen here. There's no ordinary crew cut, skinny, you know, duh-looking guy here. All right? He's a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. Man. So the next run, I remember, you know when you run up the hill, all right, upwards. You got no time to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You know, you got no time for that. So I ran, I said, Father, Father, help. That's what I prayed. I managed to call on the Father and I say, help. Help came out. At least I was not just groaning, I did call upon his name. And that's all I can pray, help. Okay, that night, we slept. We hardly took our night snack because we were so worked up, all right, that we could hardly eat. So we went to bed. Tomorrow is a new day. This field training out there. The next day, this same sergeant, famous, said this. He said, all of you, come. Sit around me. He sat down there and said, I think I've been very hard on all of you. You think, in our hearts, you think. All right. So he said, I think I've been very hard on all of you, okay? And from now on, we'll take things easy.
Dear friends, I'm so glad you tune in today. I want to share with you how praying in tongues can unleash God's power in your life. There are times we are confronted by situations and we don't know how to pray. It might be a loved one who is unwell or a difficult financial challenge. My friend, I want to encourage you with a special teaching kit to help you learn about speaking in tongues. In this kit is a powerful booklet about the many benefits of praying in the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you release rivers of living water into your challenging situations.
This month, we're giving you Joseph's powerful teaching series and a bonus book on praying in tongues for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And for a gift of $75 or more, you'll receive this specially curated set that will give you a deeper understanding of the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Call now and you'll also receive this teaching series as a digital video resource. Thank you for your gift that allows us to reach even more people with the gospel of grace. Visit josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-901-4300.
For faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Amen. Focus on God's word and find freedom. There is a now word for you. Stay tuned.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at gracerevonline.com. Next on Joseph Prince.
I submit to you, the Holy Spirit helps you when you are under attack physically. Are you listening, people?
Help us proclaim the life-changing gospel of grace far and wide. Join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. You can make a real difference in the lives of many today. Visit josephprince.org or call 877-901-4300 to find out more. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us. Preceding paid program is brought to you by our Grace Legacy Builders. Thank you for helping us proclaim the gospel of grace around the world.